Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And as usual, you could not resist clicking on this episode and downloading it because you don't have the foggiest idea what we're going to talk about. And frankly, neither do I, which is the fun part of doing a podcast with a bunch of random people's stories from probably the most random profession that ever existed, which is real estate, where every day is different. And today I'm bringing y'all a guest who's not even a realtor, and I'll tell y'all more about how he wandered up onto the show. But we have Steve Sims with us today. Steve, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so I have to tell our listeners that I found you because I was listening to a podcast. So here's a free commercial for I Love Marketing, which is Dean Jackson and Joe Polish. And it's my favorite podcast for idea generation. And I was listening to an episode with Steve, and to tell y'all how good the episode was, I listened for the whole entire hour, which I have serious ADD and attention disorder problems. I wasn't going to listen to anything for an hour, but he's really good. And so he listened, he told lots of good stuff, and Joe and Dean actually didn't talk the whole time, which is a miracle for those two. And I then downloaded, well, I didn't download it because I don't like electronic books. Y'all know that. I bought the real life tangible book Steve has called Blue Fishing. And look, I'm using my G. I didn't drop it. So you won't be able to find Blue Fishing online. You can find Blue Fishing. And it's really good. And so then I started stalking him online. And I've now found out the young people call that a stan. And so then he wound up at an event where I was recruiting him as a keynote speaker. And so that's like a really short story of how you have a super famous person on the podcast. And though I guess he's not famous if you don't listen to marketing stuff and don't read books, but now you probably should. So anyway, Steve, thanks for coming on the show. And you wound up in the real estate sector doing some speaking stuff and some consulting gigs totally by accident. But you're a grown person with a family and stuff, and you've bought real estate before. So premise of our podcast is really just crazy shit that has happened in and around real estate. And so you could take whatever angle you want, but tell our people why I was fascinated by you, but you don't have an hour like you did with Joe and Dean because my people have no attention span.
I suppose I ended up in it, and you're right, my business profile, I'm a high-end concierge. You know, they call me the Make-A-Wish Foundation for people with really big checkbooks, you know, getting married by the Pope, sending them down to the Titanic. That's the crazy shit that I get up to. But we wrote a book on how to market, because a lot of people actually market in a very complicated manner. You know, they look at CRMs, they look at click-through, they try to overcomplicate the hell of it. And all I would do, because quite simply, I'm a thick-headed Irish lad from East London, I would just do the most impactful way of communicating with people to get what I wanted. It was just a natural thing to me. And the worse people got at communicating, the better I looked. And I released a book. They just kind of like told you how I do stuff. It doesn't name famous names, because if I did, I'd be dead by cocktail hour. And then lo and behold, I ended up getting on stages. And for some reason, the real estate and mortgage community just seemed to kind of like grasp it, because the dumb thing is the book, and here's where I'm doing myself out of business, it's a waste of space, okay? And I'm probably the first author to say, hey, don't buy the book. But here's the bottom line of it is there's no rocket science in it. You all know this shit, but so many people decide to you know, outsmart themselves by not using it and go for weaker forms of getting stuff done. So I go in there, I talked about a couple of stories, I told about the simple stuff and the simple way that I did it, and the mortgage crowd and the real estate crowd went, hang on a minute, this is a great way for us to be able to communicate with our peeps and potential clients and vendors and partners and chain relationships. And that's how it happened. And good people like you, that we can call it stalking. I like that word. It makes me feel good that we got to know each other. And you are responsible for making sure that I got on a few of those stages. So that's how I've ended up in this space.
Which, frankly, I know y'all stopped listening because you were distracted by the accent. And frankly, I know that it's my get out of jail free card. I'm pretty sure Steve can use it in the U.S. as a get out of jail free card, but you can't overseas. But you boil all that down to the one thing you said, which is that it's communication that fixes things that otherwise look complicated.
Oh, so hell yeah.
Give them a quick scenario of something in your life where you saw a complicated scenario and you fixed it.
Whenever someone comes to me with a problem or even a request, I kind of hear it because it's like a little bit of white noise, but I ignore it. You see, a lot of people don't ask for what they truly want. They kind of will ask a question based on what they think is possible, what is plausible, what they think is acceptable, or what they think will make them sound smarter, more interesting. So I have a little very simple process of tapping into my inner Sherlock. So whenever someone asks me a question or tells me something they want, whether it be in my consultant or whether it be in my concierge, which one is to solve, one is to provide, I will straight away turn around and I go, well, you know, that sounds good, but why is that the problem? What is the result you're trying to gain? 9 times out of 10, the end of the line is completely different to the journey that I'm about to take getting there. So people will come to me and they will say things like, hey, I want to, and this is on the concierge side, I want a dinner table in Florence. And I'll say, well, okay, you know, what are you trying to do? Is there an event going on? And I will try to give them something that they lust for and desire that they never thought was plausible. By always giving something to someone that they never asked for, you can never fail. If you give something to someone that they asked for, you've provided. And who provides? Amazon. So what you've got to do is you've got to do everything that a company like Amazon does and everything that Amazon doesn't do. And what Amazon doesn't do is think for you, dream for you, vision for you. So in any kind of problem situation, if you solve the problem by giving the person exactly what you wanted, you've ended the relationship because you provided. You become a service provider. You've got to look into it and go, hang on, we can get you over this, but we can also do this so that that actually never comes back again. And I think that's why I've actually been working well within your group, because people don't know what they don't know. That's your job. You're the ones that are supposed to be there. If someone says, hey, I need A and B to equal C, then you better look at your watch because you've got about 10 minutes before you have a job and some algorithm's going to replace you.
And frankly, a lot of people should be replaced by the algorithms. The people who can't go beyond, let them go away. And I think this is a problem we have in the real estate profession. You have a lot of mediocrity that is struggling to survive because the mediocre people are scared to look beyond that base level service provider because they don't know how to go beyond. So if you can, but your future is unlimited. And I love how you called it the quest. That's what I was sitting down here writing down, is figuring out that quest, because that's what it is in real estate when we're talking to a buyer and seller. And in fact, the whole thing you boiled down also is in a different angle of life too, in volunteer world. We just went through our process where we annually are looking at applications for service on committees in the Realtor Association. And our members can apply for multiple committees and they rank them in their order of preference. And you start looking at some of the really talented people that are anxious to give back and they really want to do great things for the profession. And you see their passion line up with number 3 on their list because they put number 1 as what they think is attainable. Mm-hmm. And number 3 was their stretch goal, but they were afraid to ask for the stretch, even though that's where their talents line up. So then you're relying on somebody else to add up your passion with what your dream is. And frankly, I think many of us in life have quit putting our stretch goal as our number 1 wish because we figure we can't get it. So screw it. Why even go for it? What happened to us?
We settled. The bottom line of it is we settled. And another thing that came up, this social platform, we got scared of looking stupid. The bottom line of it is now every single social profile out there has you leaning against a car with a yacht in the background, a private jet that you don't own. It has all of this superficial shine with no substance. So we're frightened of turning around and showing the warts and all and going, hang on, this shit's hard, but I achieved it. It's much easier just to lean against a yellow Lamborghini in a car park in Beverly Hills, get someone to take a photograph and then quickly run away and post it on Facebook going, hey, life's better with a yellow Lamborghini that you don't own. So I think now we're actually getting scared. We're settling. We're getting frightened to try. I'll tell you one thing, and I'll drop his name here. Elon Musk. Okay, I was working with Elon Musk in SpaceX, and we were talking about how, you know, he went from going against the banking industry, going against solar systems, building up space rockets. He turned around and said one of the most powerful things ever to me. He turned around and he said, they will always laugh at you before they applaud. And there are people out there, the real movers, the people today that are making a difference, don't care about your opinion. They don't care about or seek your approval. So they just get on with it. And when they fall over, You know, I remember when Elon Musk was doing that reusable rocket. Do you remember the rocket that would come down and he was trying to get the reusable fuel cells?
Right. So we could have like passenger travel to space quickly and cheaply.
Do you remember those videos on your nightly news of where the rocket would land on that deck in the middle of the ocean, fall over and explode?
No.
They used to, yeah, it used to be, I don't know if it was just over here.
I don't watch the news, and so I have to go watch a YouTube video that's probably
fair enough.
Well,
it's all over you. Well, here's the point. It's all over those platforms. The rockets would come down. He would have some unique way of making them land. They would tip over and then explode into a massive firework. And every night here, or every couple of nights here on the news, it would be, oh, another one of Elon's rockets falls over. It doesn't work. And then it did, and everyone stopped videoing it. You see, we video people tripping over more than we video people walking straight, because the tripping over, we get to giggle at, we get to point out, we get to laugh at. And the fact is today we settle because we're frightened of people seeing us failing. The bottom line is, all the successful people out there, they fail a lot, and they fail often up.
And that's actually so hard for the regular person to hear that lesson and feel that it applies to them, because we also believe that Elon Musk is different than us. And y'all, he's not. He's just a guy who's out there spending his money trying some new things, because at some point in his childhood, he probably read some science fiction book that excited him. And if you are a regular everyday Joe doing a regular everyday job, you're thinking, man, I'm not Elon Musk. Doesn't apply to me. But it does, because you're going to fail in taking care of aging parents. You're going to fail as a parent of your own kids when your kids screw up, bring home a bad grade, or get arrested. And that doesn't mean that everything is lost. It just means that tomorrow is going to be different than today was. And I think we have to remember that as entrepreneurs, because all of us are entrepreneurs that are listening to this podcast, whether you're a realtor, affiliated person, or a normal person who buys and sells houses. Obviously, you're intrigued by this entrepreneurial field. And if you don't fail, then frankly, you're in the wrong profession. You need to go do something else, because you must be a really boring person if you're perfect all the time.
There's no growth. Our greatest success, our greatest achievements, whether it be in, you know, you spend some money on marketing for new clients and it fails and you try something else and it works, you wouldn't have got to that success had you not known how it failed first. Your greatest success comes from your greatest mistakes and failings. And you're right. You say about we're not like Elon Musk. We are so like Elon Musk. There is a them and an us. He's just up there and on a big financial scale. But remember, it was him, his mum, and his brother in a one-bedroom apartment in New York. They were the ones that chose, hey, this doesn't need to be us. Today, it doesn't need to be you. Try something that there's a huge probability you're going to fail at, and that's going to be your greatest growth.
And the thing you're going to fail at is what seems easy to the rest of the world, which is, in any sales profession, it's picking up this stupid phone and making a telephone call. I don't know why y'all are afraid to talk to people on the phone anymore. You're so afraid that you have to have the perfect emoji and the perfectly crafted subject line and sentence that you don't do anything. You're so paralyzed by this need for perfection. So you need to do the basic everyday jobs that nobody else will do, which is also how Elon Musk can build a rocket. He had to do the basic everyday science and math in his foundational learning so that he could build a rocket for you. And he had to be willing to screw it up and let it be on the internet as a big failure, because frankly, all those assholes on the internet that type ugly comments and type in all caps and say nasty things, they haven't done anything nearly as monumental and game-changing as what Elon Musk is doing in his failures, much less when he succeeds. So you have to remember, the people online are nothing more than trolls that wish they were you, even if what you're doing is taking care of an aging parent so that you can sell their house in 4 years. All of those things matter.
I have a great belief that the people that tell you you can't do it, they don't want you to do it because it's going to prove that they can't. And those are the people that are not challenging you. They're the crabs. They're trying to hold you down. Those are the people that you got to look in the eyes and go, okay, I'm going to prove that, you know, again, them and us, you're one of them, because us, we do it. And if you fail short, then you've tried. The only fail that is bad is through you not trying.
And y'all been told that since you were little kids in school. I mean, frankly, we were told that for years. Your parents tell you, and you read it in all these little books of platitudes, and you still ignore it. So at some point, you're just going to have to walk outside naked and embarrass the crap out of yourself so that you find out you can do something nobody else will do. Some of y'all probably should not do that particular item because it's always the wrong people who do that. But hey, at least you would get over some fear somewhere. So Steve, tell our listeners here, what are you doing next? Blue fishing was a huge success. You are speaking in our real estate space, helping our realtors with their mindset on marketing and their approach. So what's next for you?
Well, it's crazy because I'm actually not only doing that in the US, I'm actually doing it globally now. You know, this year alone, I'm doing London, Spain. I've already done Bangkok and Phuket. I'm in Japan, Korea. So it's just going ridiculous. And again, I'm doing a lot in the US as well. So, you know, catch me on a stage near you one time. So I'm doing a lot of speaking. I'm doing a lot of consulting. We're actually halfway through, and I'm not plugging it because it's already gone, but we're actually halfway through a dedicated coaching platform for realtors and those in the mortgage industry, which has been doing really well. You can't access it now. So as I say, it's not a pitch, but that's been really interesting. I think because, again, hitting on that entrepreneurial disease that we all have, I don't like to settle. So I like to grow. I like to try new things. So whereas I've gone from the concierge business where people would challenge me to get you married in the Vatican by the Pope, now I'm taking people that need to get out of that mindset, get out of the way of their biggest problem, which is them, and actually putting them into rooms with incredible people, sending them home and saying, right, now you have permission to do something amazing. And the first thing you should do is try to fail, fail often, fail up. So I'm doing a lot of things there. We're looking at a second book now. To be blunt, I never, ever thought there'd be a first book. So I'm quite stunned by that. It's exciting times.
Okay, so then knowing you've been around our people for a while and now you want to coach our people, let's say that you and the love of your life to whom you're married, because you're very lucky like that, have an amazing family. Let's say the two of y'all decide to change houses. Is this going to impact how you interview the realtor who would sell your house and who would help you find the next one that you've been around realtors differently in the space?
Yes, but I think it always did because I've always had that mindset. Whenever I speak to someone, I'm probably the worst person because I'm going to throw them a low ball and see if they take it or not. You see, you get again, it's like that asking the question. I don't want them to answer my questions. I want them to answer my problem. And my problem is quite often different to what my question is. Again, as I said to you earlier, we don't know. Now, I remember having, when I looked at getting mortgages and getting homes, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know about easements. I don't know about local building regs that are going on for other properties in the area. I don't know about school districts. I need you to tell me these things. So if I give you a lowball and go, I heard about X, I don't want you answering X. I want you answering every single letter in the alphabet so that I can turn around and go, this person is the person I need to rely on. I believe nowadays, I don't need a how, I don't need an answer, I need a who. Who can I rely on? Who can I trust? Who's going to answer all the questions that I don't even know to ask? So whenever I'm talking to anyone, I'm the little shit that's going to throw a few lowball questions in there to see if you take them and think that makes you shiny. If you take those, I'm moving on to the next person.
Okay, so then that's totally at odds with how most realtors and mortgage professionals market themselves, either online or in their in their mailings and in their communications, where their primary stand apart is that they're all number one, which we all know that's a load of crap because you can make up any stat that you want to. So if you were looking at a communication, what would make you respond back?
Solve. I believe quite simply today we should stop selling, we should solve more. I want you to send me a mailing and say, are you aware that this area is growing at the highest rate in the Los Angeles County? Are you aware that this area is the number one in the school district? Are you aware? Give me an answer that I wasn't aware of. Solve a problem. Are you aware that this is the fastest growing housing area in this and you can still get it at rates lower than so-and-so? Tell me that one square footage is cheaper in this area than in this area, but that area has the better schooling districts. Give me answers that I didn't know questions should have been asked. I want you to solve. I want you to go, ooh, that's interesting. Don't show me a pretty picture of a pool. Don't show me a picture that you had from a headshot of when you were 20 years old and that you still use on the local, you know, bus chairs. Solve a problem for me. Gain my focus on you as being the who.
Okay, so then let's be honest. That's what you think. But in real estate, it's quite often the wife who makes real estate decisions, because being in a huge financial transaction, that's also fraught with emotion because of all the things that happen in and around the home. Wives carry an inordinate amount of power. So that's what you think. What would your wife be intrigued by in real estate communications? And be honest, who makes the real estate decisions in the Sims household?
You know, I love you and I'd very rarely disagree with you, but I'm kind of disagreeing with you now. Okay, because when you've been married for a long time, you both gain each other's strengths and weaknesses. Okay, so you become a tight unit. While I would be the person that would ask those questions, my wife would take over quite correctly to make the final say so on whether or not this would work. But in those situations, it is a tag team. You work on your strengths and weaknesses. My wife, because we've been together for, I don't know, 400 years or something, you know, I will throw a lowball question, but my pretty little petite wife, what is she to know? She will throw a lower lowball question. And if that person comes back and grabs that ball and thinks they've done something well, my wife will be the first one to go, Steve, this is not the one. So I can be the growly bear, but my wife is just going to be the evil predator there as well. So to actually think that either partner is your focus can be your first undoing. Each one has to be reacted and communicated with differently, but it doesn't matter whether or not you're in a real estate transaction or whether or not you're doing some amazing holiday. You've got to focus on both couples, react to both of their questions, understand both of their desires to get to the single problem that you've got to solve, which is in the real estate, giving them somewhere that will make them money, will escalate in value, will not cause them problems, and that they will be something that they will be so thankful that they got involved in because of you.
So which one of you has veto power, you or your wife?
Ooh.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth. It really depends on the subject, but I will tell you straight off the bat that where I'm living now, just outside of Los Angeles on the way of Malibu, my wife didn't like this property at first, okay? I saw it because of the financials and all of the, I suppose, sensible benefits. But when my wife came in, she looked at, she's a lot more visual than I am. I'm more analytical. She's more visual. She came in and she went, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. What we did was we went away from the house that we were living in. We sat down and we went through a pro and a con and a fix and a fail list. And we looked at it and she said, I don't like those windows. Okay. We replaced the windows. I don't like the paint on the wall. Okay. We replaced the paint on the wall. You know, are we eliminating the problems now that made you go, no, I don't? Now she thinks this is the greatest thing that we ever managed to get. It was definitely a joint relationship. I think maybe it may be a little bit of unfairness here. I met my wife when she was 16 years old. Okay. So I wasn't 42, I was 17. So we did a lot of growing up together. So we're that horrible couple that can very easily finish each other's sentences. So we know our strengths and our weaknesses. I know I'm more anally analytical on something, and I know she's more visual on something. So she'll go, well, do the numbers make up? And I'll go, yeah, but does it look good? No, it doesn't. So we can play like that. And then when I get weak on something, or when I get sold on something, and that's, you know, when those kind of like glittery eyes come over and all the intelligence goes into your backside, she can step in and go, well, hang on, does it make financial sense? So that is when you're talking to a good couple. So you, first of all, before you get involved in any real estate transaction whatsoever, know the people you're dealing with, know the problem you've got to solve, and know the characters within this play that is now going to take place.
Which y'all should know that I'm glad you brought up that little sparkly feeling, because we train for that with realtors before they go out into the field, is that you will see when a buyer gets that sparkle in their eyes. It's hard to ever define which property is going to match up to which buyer, but the best realtors are prepared with the facts in their back pocket to calm down the other half of the couple, because frankly, the sparkly one's going to win 9 times out of 10. as long as you have the information prepared for that 10th time for them to be like, all right, this will make good decisions too. The biggest takeaway from all that is you do have to listen to both sides of a couple, but you can totally pay attention to the one that's ultimately in the decision-making position. And in real estate, you'd be surprised how many times it is the wife who has the ultimate say one way or the other. And one way that we used to do it, and frankly, if you're a realtor or a mortgage lender who goes and meets with people in person, don't make the mistake of making everybody ride in separate cars. We all used to ride in the same car because that's the best time to get to know somebody is in close quarters. And y'all like to use the excuse of liability and traffic and allergies and whatever all else. But seriously, suck it up and get in that same close quarters with them. But my daddy taught me this years ago. You go to the passenger side of the car and open up both doors and stand back. The one who sits in the front passenger seat, that's the ultimate decision maker in the couple. They'll do it subconsciously, and you'd be fascinated that sometimes it's not the one you thought it was going to be. But you have to get really good at asking people questions, and don't be afraid to ask them who has the veto power if you can't ferret it out of them. Which means, by the way, if you're a consumer and one of y'all is the veto person, you should keep that information close to the vest until you trust the realtor or the mortgage professional with whom you're working.
You know, you're totally right. In that situation, when the doors were open like that, I would have put my wife in the front seat and she would have had veto power. And she did have veto power. I needed to make sure I could solve her problems, because if I couldn't solve her problems and issues with this house, this
then
wasn't the house.
It creates bigger issues in the future.
It does. No matter how much I could have made twice the amount of money, but if she was living in a house that she was not happy with, we haven't got a happy home. So in that situation, you are so right. As the key designer and principal of the family monarchy, she's got to be happy.
I like the family moniker. I might have to steal that.
It's yours.
All right. So, Steve, what's your last little bits of advice to any of our listeners here, whether they are also normal people who aren't realtors or mortgage pros and they're listening to this to get some kind of insight for life, or if they are an entrepreneur as you and I are? What's the one thing they need to go think about as we head into the second half of 2019?
We've touched on it really earlier, but we need a solution. We're in a world now where you need a car, you get an Uber. You need to go somewhere, you get an Airbnb. We're now in a solution-driven market, and we've got to be looking at what the problem we have that we're looking to solve. As an entrepreneur, when you're talking to someone, you've got to be solving problems, because as I said to you before, if you're giving people what they ask for, Amazon's just waiting to take your business. As a consumer, and you're looking for something, you're looking for a who that's going to answer the questions that you haven't yet asked. So we're in a solution-based economy at the moment, and you've got to be looking for that who.
All right. Tell them how they can find you online. By the way, I know you said not to buy it, but I'm going to overrule you on that because it's my podcast and I have veto power. Y'all should go buy Bluefishing because it really is a good book. And it was so good. I wrote in the margins, which to me is the sign of a book that is enjoyable. And Steve cusses in it, which I think raises his level of credibility. So just for the record, that's part of the reason I have the big black explicit E on the front of this podcast, because I wanted it. But outside of their book, Steve, how can they find more information about you? They can listen to your podcast episode with I Love Marketing. I can't remember what number it was. Do you remember?
Oh, I don't recall.
All right, use the Googles. Use the internet. Yeah. So you can find that, people. Y'all are
Joe Polish and Dean
solvers.
Jackson are really cool. I have a podcast which your lovely lady, is going to be on, called The Art of Making Things Happen podcast with me, Steve Sims. Sims, by the way, is just one M. But you can find me on Steve D. Sims, that's D for David, Steve D. Sims. I'm on your Facebooks, your Twitters, your LinkedIn. I'm everywhere. I'm like a bad rash. So Steve D. Sims, or you can find me at stevedsims.com.
And as of usual, I know you people aren't writing anything down because you're listening to this while you're sweating to the oldies or working in the garden or whatever you're doing. But never fear, all of Steve's contact information and handles are in the show notes for this episode, so you can access it anytime. And seriously, you should look on his website. If he's speaking anywhere nearby, go hear him, because you're going to realize that all of the tools you need to be more successful already are in your head. You just have to let them out. And Steve's very, very skilled at helping you find the best side of yourself. So, Steve, thank you so much for, first of all, humoring your big fan here and coming on the podcast, and for what you're doing to help make professionals better in all kinds of professions out there as you figure out what you have to give back. You're bringing people with you, and I think that's admirable.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right, people, if you're listening to this and you think you're infinitely more interesting than Steve and you'd like to be featured, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks, be featured in a future episode. Make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.